Cracked Egg, written by Morzila and read by Eos Rose. Jensen sneaked into his home with gentle footsteps. The rarely used front door swung smoothly on its hinges as he crept through. He actually kind of liked the door, possibly because of the novelty of rarely seeing it thanks to Jared's insistence that they use the upper-level door and fly into the house, even if they'd been in the car. Jensen half expected Jared to be awake when he got home. His mate had been clingy right before he'd left, needy and unswayable about fucking on every flat surface that was available for copulation. Jared had even talked him into a quickie right before he'd had to leave to catch his flight. He'd dropped his drawers right there in the kitchen, and Jensen, for the first time in his life, was almost late for a flight. Jared had been unusually insistent on bottoming during that frenzied period of screwing, but it hadn't exactly been a hardship on Jensen, so he'd given his mate his way. Jensen hadn't even been gone a week, but Jared's voice had gotten tight by the time he'd called the night before. Jared had muttered something about having a surprise for Jensen when he got home, and Jensen figured he couldn't be blamed for jumping to the conclusion that sex would be waiting with how desperate his mate had been before he left. Creeping into the living room, he could make out the outline of Jared's sleeping form on the couch. He looked exhausted, gray and pale. Jensen stumbled over to press a hand against Jared's forehead to check his temperature, and then wake him up to usher his obviously ailing body to bed. But he stopped short of his goal. He sort of had to, as Jared was cradling a gigantic green egg in his arms.
"What the hell is that?"
Jensen croaked out loud. Jared's eyes flew open at the noise, and his arms cradled the egg closer to his chest. "Jensen!" Jared's gray face flushed, and a nervous expression took up residence on it.
"Jay, what's with the egg?"
Well, it's your son?" Jared mumbled. Jensen stared at the swaddled bundle.
"Jared, sweetheart, seraphs don't lay eggs, and even if they did, you're not a girl."
That one earned him a glare. "I know that, dumbass."
"So it's a pet?" Jensen asked hopefully.
Jared would be the type to refer to them as daddies if they adopted an animal.
"No, weren't you listening?" "I heard you say something biologically impossible, if that's what you're talking about."
"Look," Jared licked his lips and rearranged the egg, tucking the corners of the blanket in tighter around it. "You know how I got those fancy powers? Apparently, sometimes, egg-laying kind of goes with it. But only, you know, if the egg is fertilized. Otherwise my body just absorbs it and doesn't produce the shell."
"So you're saying that came out of your body?"
Jensen squeaked. It wasn't an outrageously sized egg for being gigantic, but it was pretty scary looking.
"Yeah, well, just be thankful you didn't have to push it out of a new and not-so-fun opening that suddenly appeared on your body. I was pretty freaked out at the time, and it was not fun figuring out what to do. Plus, I had to bribe Chad to go buy a giant incubator and electric blankets. Do you know how much money that cost us?"
"Are you sure it's..."
"Don't call him an it," Jared corrected immediately. "And he's fine. Alive and well and very active inside his little shell right now."
Jared finished the sentence more towards the egg cuddled in his arms than to Jensen. His voice pitched soft and warm and just a tad too sweet for Jensen's peace of mind. Jensen sat down on the floor and tried to process. Jared gave birth to a green egg. Jensen was going to be a father. He didn't know which thought was more terrifying. The Flower Child, written by Lexical and read by Eos Rose. Jared touched it all the time. Hell, most days Jared was carrying it with him, holding it in his arms.
Jensen didn't know how the hell Jared had avoided breaking it. His mate was elegant and graceful in the sky, but human apartments, even theirs, weren't exactly set up with a 16-foot wingspan in mind. Jared broke things. A lot. And Jensen had spent the last couple of days wincing every time Jared merrily strolled through into the kitchen, egg under one arm, wooden ladle in the other, stirring whatever was on the stove with little care or concern. Jensen kept imagining the egg dropping, smashing on the floor, and that moment of complete silence as the two of them stood there. The worst part was, though, when he mused over his morbid fantasies, that Jensen honestly didn't know how he'd feel. He knew how Jared would feel. His Seraph would be shattered. But Jensen? Okay, he accepted that there was an egg. Obviously, there was an egg. And it was freakishly large and probably not laid by a bird, and Chad seemed pretty convinced, so maybe Jared had really laid it. Maybe. Jensen could put those two things together in his mind. But the idea that there was a child in there? Jensen's child? That somehow escaped his imagining. It didn't matter what angle he peered at it from. The egg was opaque and gave nothing away. It didn't look like a baby, not the kind of baby that Jensen was used to seeing, anyways. And honestly, he just saw an egg. Just a greenish, speckled, too big egg. It was too bizarre, too divorced from the world the way he framed it, for him to see it as a child. Which didn't really boast much for his parenting skills. Not that he really thought a kid was going to come bursting out of it. After all, that was insane, right? Right. Totally insane. "Can you hold him?" Jared asked one day, holding the egg out.
I...
Jensen replied, words coming out and going nowhere. Jared's arms were extended, still holding the thing, and as the seconds ticked by, Jensen could see the expression on his mate's face fade, falling slowly away to disappointment. And Jared never emoted by halves, either. When he was sad, he just looked like a kicked puppy. Worse, his big wings would sag, drooping down pathetically, tips pressing against the floor. "Okay," the Seraph mumbled dejectedly. He pulled the egg back to his chest, cradling it there and tenderly wrapping it up in the expensive, fluffy blanket he'd had Jensen go and buy. Jensen felt like a complete louse standing there, watching Jared amble away with his pinions dragging along behind him. Jensen had never been the most expressive of men, but he did his best to be a good partner, a good mate. He didn't like hurting Jared, didn't like upsetting him. He did love the giant bird brain, after all. That night, in their bed, Jensen lay awake thinking about it, trying to figure it all out. It finally occurred to him, around 2 a.m., what the whole thing reminded him of. That stupid exercise they made kids do in 7th grade to scare them out of having sex. When the teachers would make them carry around a big sack of flour all week and take care of it, dress it up and make sure that it didn't break or get a hole in it. Jensen even remembered some of the girls decorating their flour sacks back when he had to go through it. That was what this made him think of. Jared was carrying around a sack of flour like it was a baby, and Jensen was humoring him. Vaguely. Sort of. Not really. Jensen was sitting on the sidelines and waiting for it to become apparent that there was no baby inside of the egg, because, of course, there couldn't be a baby inside of the egg. It was an egg. Jensen wasn't seeing a child or a son. He was seeing a sack of flour with a bow and a baby blanket on, and just indulging his mate's eccentricities. And laying there in bed, staring up at the ceiling and finding utterly no sleep, Jensen realized that that was incredibly not fair. Either this thing was just an egg and nothing more, in which case Jared's delusions needed to be dealt with, or... or that really was Jensen's baby resting over there in the incubator, kept warm and safe through the night while its parents slept. His parents slept. Jensen swallowed. He wasn't sure what he thought about that second possibility. He pushed the sheets down carefully, Jared a deep sleeper, but Jensen really not wanting to have all this observed, and slipped carefully out of bed. The carpets were thick enough to absorb the sound of his footfalls as he walked up to the glass, radiating warmth, and peered in at the orange glow of the heat lamps. The egg was still, unmoving, and in no way different from how it had looked 3 days previously when Jensen had gotten home. It sat there, unassuming, like it wasn't the great big elephant in their nest, and Jensen spared a quick look back at his mate, still passed out, before very slowly flipping the latch and opening the front panel of the incubator. He had never touched the egg, had avoided doing so, in fact, so when he lifted his hand, his fingers wriggled back and forth in the air, hesitating. He rolled his lip in his teeth, biting at it as he considered his options. What if Jared was right? What if this was all real? Was Jensen really going to sit around and ignore the egg if it was really their child together? A child made from him and his mate? Impossible and ridiculous. Absurd. And so very possibly precious. This was important to Jared, and Jensen wanted it to be important to him, too. There was no way there was a baby in there, but if there was... Well, if there was... Jensen lowered his hand, feeling the glow of the lamps against his skin, and he felt a jolt of nerves running up and down him as he reached in, until the pads of his fingers connected to the even surface, smoothing out slowly, carefully, until his palm pressed to it and his hand lay flat against its gentle curve. It was warm. That was to be expected. It was in an incubator, after all. It could just be heated from that. Then, as if he'd been sensed, something moved in there. It was only from a sheer act of great manliness that Jensen managed not to cry out as he sprang back, warm hand clapped to his mouth to hold in the girly shriek just wanting to come out. He stood there, heart hammering in his chest, and he jerked his head around to look at Jared again, passed out and drooling on the pillow. Jensen looked back at the incubator and tried to slow his breathing, excess adrenaline running through his veins and making him shake a little. It took him nearly 4 minutes before he could step back close again, fingers trembling this time as they once again touched that hard surface. The egg rocked a little and Jensen's heart jolted, but he didn't move. He took a deep, steadying breath. There was something in there, something undeniably real and undeniably alive, and nothing at all like a sack of flour. Maybe it was a giant bird or some kind of turtle or sea monster. Or maybe it was the egg of a velociraptor. But Jared had given birth to it, pushed it out of his own body all by himself, and Jared might have been exuberant and gullible and far too quick to believe what people told him, but Jared wasn't a liar, and he wasn't delusional no matter what Jensen thought. And Jensen's hand was resting against the thin, too fragile shell that was the only thing protecting his child from all the harsh realities of the world. He swallowed hard, and the swell of pure emotion that had evaded him for 3 days, the understanding and comprehension that had fled from him at every turn, hit him like an 18-wheeler, and he got it. He just got it. He wanted to pick it, him, up, and swaddle him close, keep him safe, keep him resting in his tiny cocoon until he was good and ready to come out. God, it was tiny. It had looked so big before, but now Jensen imagined a baby curled up in it, a baby with wings, and God, it was so small. How did he even fit? Under his hand, the egg shifted again, minutely. "Hey," was all Jensen could say, voice low and a little cracked,
thick and heavy with way too much to put into words, and he didn't want to take his hand away. All he knew for certain was that Jared wouldn't be carrying their egg around the kitchen with him anymore.
Egg Hunt, written by Morzilla and read by Eos Rose.
"I want you to know this isn't my fault," are the first words that Chad says when Jared makes it through the apartment door.
"How is it not your fault?" Jared growls. His panic is like a bubble inside his chest, pushing at his lungs so he can't breathe. His egg is missing. His baby is gone. He is going to kill Chad. He is going to kill Chad, and then he is going to go to jail, and then he'll never have sex with Jensen again. And he is a horrible, horrible person because he's thinking about sex with Jensen when his child is missing, his baby is gone, and... The sting of Chad's hand shocks Jared back into the present.
"Sorry, man, you looked a little out of it there," Chad explains.
"Tell me why I shouldn't kill you," Jared asks.
"Because it isn't my fault. That Chris guy that your idiot mate is friends with came by to borrow a guitar and amplifier and stuff from Jensen. He had a couple of roadies with him. Dude, I didn't check the stuff to make certain they weren't smuggling baby Egbert with them. Who would want to steal a giant egg anyway?"
"I'm going to kill Chris," Jared says.
"Then you," he adds. "Jared, man, we'll get the little cherub back all safe and sound," Chad promises, like he gets threatened with death every day. Then again, he probably does.
"You don't know that. How long has my baby been without heat? He's an egg, Chad. He's supposed to be kept warm."
I know," Chad placates him. "Jensen already told me that, along with all of the things he was going to do to me if anything happened to your egg. I've got to say, his imagination is better."
"Where is Jensen?" Jared demands, brain finally catching up with the fact that his mate isn't home.
"More importantly, do you know where Chris and his hooligans went?"
"Jensen is out finding Chris," Chad says slowly. Too slowly.
"Chad," Jared snarls.
"Look, Jensen made me promise that I'd keep you out of prison," Chad explains.
"That fucker," Jared hisses. "I'm not letting him near my wings for a fucking week."
Chad frowns. "Isn't that punishing you more than him?"
"Shut up, Chad," Jared snaps as he pulls out his cell phone and calls Jensen. Anger grows in his guts, flaming up to the panic in his chest when not only does Jensen not answer, but he hears the echo of his ringtone in the apartment.
"I'm going to kill him too," Jared snarls.
"I don't think you want to do that," Chad points out.
"Don't tell me what I don't want to do," Jared roars.
"Well, okay, but he didn't come home before going off to find Chris, so..." Jared's eyes widen in understanding before he turns and bolts to the front door. Jensen is standing right outside it, arms wrapped protectively around their egg.
"Well, that solves the problem of getting my key into the lock," he quips, though he can't manage to get the tone right. His eyes are bloodshot, his forehead wrinkled. He looks like he has aged 10 years since Jared saw him that morning. Jared pulls his egg out of his mate's arms and stalks away from him without saying a word.
"Dude," Chad stage whispers, "you are so in the birdcage."
"Shut up," Jensen tells him, "and quit trying to be clever."
"I'm just going to go home now," Chad calls as he scrambles out the door that Jensen left open behind him. It clicks closed with a soft snick. There is terrible silence in the room with Chad gone, and Jared doesn't want to deal with that. He doesn't want to think about it, doesn't want to think about what might have happened to his egg.
"They kept him warm, at least." Jensen's voice is rough when he starts to speak. "Knew enough to realize that he was in an incubator for a reason."
He's got stickers on him, Jared sniffs. And paint, Jensen informs him. Paint, Jared gasps. Under the blanket, Jensen explains. The chemicals, it could have... Jared can't seem to make his mouth finish a sentence.
No cracks or abrasions that I could see, Jensen says. I don't think anybody had the bright idea to dip him in vinegar, either. They were fucking high as kites, but they hadn't totally lost sight of the fact that they'd stolen a living organism for their fucking party.
Jared can't bring himself to pull the blanket down. He doesn't want to see what they'd done to his baby.
He's a person, not an organism. Don't call him an organism, Jared mutters instead.
I know, Jay, Jensen says softly. We should probably get him back into the incubator, though. I'm not sure how evenly they heated him.
Jared nods without looking at his mate. Jensen is right, but Jared doesn't want to let go of his baby. He never once thought that he'd ever have to face a kidnapping. That happened to people on television, people with contentious divorces or crazy in-laws or creepy assholes who... He can't hold back his sob as the bubble in his chest finally has its way. That, more than anything, is what makes his feet move to take his egg back to the incubator. He doesn't want his tears dripping on the precious shell, eroding it with salt water.
Hey, it'll come off, Jensen assures him when Jared places the egg in its safe haven and the throw that had been wrapped around it falls away. The pretty speckled green of it is accented by the typical zigzags of Easter egg painting and marred with stickers of spring flowers and bunny rabbits.
I hate them, Jared whispers.
Me too, Jensen assures him as he wraps his arms around Jared's middle.
I want to go set them on fire, Jared says.
I figured, Jensen says. Why do you think I tried to keep you at home? I can't have you under a microscope like some lab rat.
That reminds Jared that he is mad at his lover.
You're a prick, he informs Jensen.
I know, Jensen responds, squeezing him closer, lips pressing a kiss on Jared's wing. Jared sighs and reaches down to thread his fingers with Jensen's, only to notice the blood drying on them and the swollen state of his knuckles.
Jensen? He asks, spinning around to look at his mate.
I broke Chris's nose, Jensen tells him, and a few other things. Those idiots he hired were using our child as a fucking centerpiece to their Easter egg hunt.
Did he know that they took him? Jared asks.
Doesn't matter, Jensen says.
How can it not matter? Jared asks.
Because I told him he wasn't welcome here anymore, Jensen admits, eyes cutting away from Jared's gaze. He swore he didn't know that they'd stolen from me, but I can't tell him why I was so upset, and I'm not even sure I'd want to do that. He almost cost us something that can't ever be replaced.
Jensen, Jared says. He doesn't know what to say, what to do. So he pulls Jensen close and hugs him instead. He'll find the words later.
Breaking Out, written by Morzila and read by Eos Rose. A sharp snapping noise wakens Jensen from his sound sleep. At first, he assumes that Jared has destroyed yet another bedside lamp with his nighttime flailing. One thing that they don't teach at the academies is that wings have a mind of their own at night. This causes all manner of domestic issues, most of which center around the fact that a man cannot ever buy a breakable lamp or alarm clock. Jensen has also had to start putting his glasses in their case every night. It's very inconvenient. But after a few blurry moments, Jensen ascertains that the objects that were sitting on the top of the bedside table are still where they were when he went to sleep. He fumbles around for his glasses and turns the lamp on, trying to figure out where the noise originated from, when an even louder crack sounds. Beside him, Jared's eyes snap wide open. That he is wide awake is clear, but if he turns out to be his normal, chipper, morning person self, Jensen might have to kill him. 3 in the morning is not an hour of the day that is meant to be seen by normal people. It is too late for night owls and too early for the early birds. He doesn't care what kind of worm Jared likes to claim he is chasing. Baby! Jared practically shrieks as he rolls over Jensen, elbowing him in the stomach as he goes. Jensen spits out a wayward feather that manages to find its way into his mouth and grumpily readjusts his glasses when Jared's words sink into his sleep-addled brain. By that time, Jared has the door to the incubator open. He is staring at the giant egg inside the chamber. He keeps shifting his weight from one foot to the other as if he is about to take off running. "Jay?" Jensen asks as he rolls out of bed and pads over. Jared doesn't answer him, but as Jensen draws closer, he can see that there are cracks forming all over the shell. The egg is rocking back and forth, mimicking Jared's nervous motions.
"Do you think we should help? Or maybe that would be bad and we shouldn't?"
Jared asks as he bites down on his thumbnail. What Jensen wants to know is how he is supposed to answer that. He hasn't the foggiest clue what the best thing to do is. Obviously, if the cherub quit moving and was in danger of suffocation, they would crack the shell. But he has no idea if assisting its hatching is something they should do or not. It isn't like there is a bird inside of there. There is no manual on Earth on how to assist your firstborn's hatching. Instead of verbally responding to Jared's question, Jensen turns around and snatches his cell phone from its resting place. It doesn't take as good quality video as their real camera does, but Jensen doesn't want to miss a moment of what is about to happen. Besides, it gives him something to do instead of contemplate how he could ruin his child's life by either assisting or not assisting him in breaking out of his ovoid home. More fissures start to develop on the shell, and the wobbling motion quits moving the egg in its entirety, instead forcing tiny flakes of shell to fall onto the blanket that Jared had placed in the incubator. All the while, Jared's hands keep fluttering in and out of the plexiglass walls. They hover uncertainly over the egg, but never touch. Neither of them speak, but Jensen figures that there are some occasions where not even Jared has enough words to form a sentence. Then, with one final crack, a large chunk breaks free, and a tiny arm pops out of the hole. It waves around in its chubby cuteness for a few seconds before a pathetic cry can be heard. The noise is muffled, but not for long. Jared's fingers waste no time in pulling away the rest of the shell. Even though Jensen had been expecting it, the sight of an actual cherub sitting there is astonishing to him. Its tiny wings are mostly naked. What feathers the cherub does have are matted down against its skin with some sort of fluid, and the thin covering of hair on its head is the same way. Jensen can just make out his firstborn's abdomen and how his cherub seems to be in possession of an improbably placed umbilical cord that is somehow attached to the lining of its shell. Jensen is also marginally aware that Jared would kill him if he knew that he was referring to their child as it in his head. That, at least, is fixable, even if figuring out the science of their progeny's existence is beyond him.
"So?" Jensen croaks out.
"Hmm," Jared replies distractedly as he moves shell fragments out of the way so that he can lay their baby down on the blanket and ease the cherub the rest of the way into the normal world.
"Boy or a girl?" Jensen asks.
"Boy," Jared says softly, his eyes focusing only on their son. Their son. Jensen tries not to gasp at the thought, but he can't help the feeling of pride that wells up inside of him, even though he really hasn't done anything spectacular. He has a son. That is his boy over there, and...
"Jensen?"
Jared interrupts with a worried voice. Cold fear grips Jensen's heart as he drops the phone and moves over.
"What's wrong?"
The baby names we picked out, Does he look like a Howard to you?" Jared asks.
That question Jensen can answer. He was never a fan of calling their baby Howie to begin with. If Jared has decided to change the name he'd had his heart set on, Jensen isn't going to stop him.
No, he doesn't. Guess we'll have to figure something else out, huh?
Jensen says as he reaches around Jared to run a gentle fingertip over the soft skin of his son's leg, ignoring the weird sort of birthing goo that is still covering him. It's a miraculous moment, and Jensen can't help but be mesmerized by it. Their cherub decides that is an excellent moment to start wailing.
Yeah, but after we call the doctor and get him cleaned up and stuff,
Jared says as he plucks their son up and cradles him to his chest.
Right,
Jensen says as he turns around and fumbles for the phone that he'd just been recording with. I'll get right on that. The display is still flashing when he picks up the phone. Jensen hits the end button on the recording and spares a half second to wonder when he became that crazy guy that films a delivery before he decides it doesn't matter. He and Jared will never be able to share the true story of their son's birth with the world. Jensen figures that he can forgive himself a little indulgence. Eating Poultry, written by Morzila and read by Eos Rose.
Papa!
The tiny wobbly cry echoed into the kitchen, and Jensen was instantly moving. By the time that he made it into his parents' living room, Jared already had their son cradled in his arms. Jensen's mother was cradling Mittens, her black and white cat, in hers. Jared was glaring daggers at the feline.
Papa!
Jensen's son insisted as soon as his little green eyes caught sight of him. Caden's round face was red and blotchy from crying. The tiny tears were making tiny trails down his chubby cheeks. Little arms stretched out over the shoulder that Jared was cradling their son on.
What's going on?
Jensen asked as he moved in between his mate and his mother.
No, Papa!
Caden insisted again as he twisted around in Jared's arms to reach out for Jensen again. Giving in, Jensen reached out and plucked their cherub out of Jared's grasp. The toddler instantly buried his face against Jensen's neck and curled in tight. His fluffy, down-covered wings bunched up tight against his back, even as his baby fists curled into Jensen's shirt.
What's going on?
Jensen asked more to the other adults in the room than his son.
That creature attacked our son,
Jared said with a venomous tone and condemning finger as he pointed to Mittens. Jensen's mother looked contrite as she cradled her beloved cat. And really, Mittens was old. She'd picked him up at the animal shelter when Jensen was 17. Mittens had always been fairly sweet-tempered, and the older he got, the lazier he became. Vicious was probably the last thing that Jensen would call him. But he was still a cat, and he liked feathers. He also had a preoccupation with Jared. As far as Mittens was concerned, he and Jared were soulmates. It was love at first sight. He was officially the first Ackles to wholeheartedly welcome Jared to the family. Even as Jensen's loved ones had been skeptical over his whirlwind romance with the Seraph, Mittens had silently declared Jared as his. He'd trail after Jared everywhere that he went, alternately batting at the nearest pinions or trying to curl up in Jared's wings for a nap if Jared was stationary. As far as Jensen was concerned, it was cute, adorable even. As far as Jared was concerned, Mittens was some sort of evil stalker who plotted out nefarious schemes in his cat brain. Not that Jared's beliefs about the cat had kept him from taunting poor Mittens. Jensen had caught him tempting the cat more than once. He'd sit there and innocently twitch his wings, taunting Mittens with those pretty feathers fluttering oh so temptingly. Actual moving feathers in his own kitchen! Not just outside the window on songbirds that he couldn't ever catch, but real, live, and just there.
Jensen had more than once accused Jared of being a horrible tease and leading Mittens on, promising him things that would never happen. Jared always denied it in a huff. It was apparently a Seraph thing. They were universally dog people, and associating with cats was just not done.
"He was just playing,"
Jensen's mother tried to explain. She looked torn, and Jensen could sympathize. Despite her initial skepticism about his relationship with Jared, and then her doubts about their sudden and rushed adoption of Caden, she still loved her grandson. But Mittens was hardly an aggressive cat, and Jared's reaction to him just possibly fell into the realm of overreaction. Not that Jensen had ever actually had the guts to point that out to his mate. Jared might not ever leave him, but he wasn't above making his mate feel miserable. Mittens got a little too invested in one of Caden's feathers and tried to pull one out, Jensen's mother clarified.
"He yanked on our son's feathers like he was trying to eat him," Jared hissed.
"He did no such thing," Jensen's mother argued back.
"Are you defending an animal over your own grandchild?"
Jared asked, his wings flaring out in indignation.
"I'm pointing out that you're being unreasonable."
"That thing still has its claws. It was trying to eat my child,"
Jared insisted, his eyes widening in rage. Caden burrowed closer to Jensen, and he gently stroked his fingers through the baby's soft down of his son's wings, calming himself as much as his cherub. There was forgiveness, and then there was forgiveness. Jensen was fairly certain that his mate still blamed Jensen's family for Jensen's own reaction to the Academy policies. In lieu of bringing himself to point blame at his beloved, Jared pointed the finger at Jensen's relatives. He was certain that their closed-mindedness was influencing Jensen. He was constantly on the defensive, looking for any sign of bigotry. For the longest time, he refused to eat any form of poultry in front of Jensen's mother, certain that she was making it and serving it to him as some sort of omen that she wished that Jared was dead and roasted.
"Jared," Jensen tried, bringing out his best soothing voice. "You're upsetting Caden."
"I'm upsetting him."
Jared's voice rose in pitch, and Jensen did his best to hide his wince.
"That cat
is maybe, just maybe, doing what you've trained him to do," Jensen suggested.
"Oh, this is my fault now? That thing hurts your son, and I'm to blame? Nice, Jensen. Real nice."
Jared glowered at him, and Caden's tears started anew.
"Now, boys," Jensen's mother said, her mom voice coming out in full force.
It was the same tone that she would use whenever Jensen would get into a fight with one of his siblings. It was that,
"You two are being idiots," tone.
"Now what?" Jared snapped defensively.
"It's Thanksgiving," she replied.
"And?" Jared asked snidely.
"And I'm finally getting to make turkey instead of ham," she said. Jared frowned at that.
"What?"
"After how many years of you being with my son and coming to my house on Thanksgiving, I'm finally getting to make a turkey again." She paused and took a deep breath.
"And now you're finding another reason to hate me."
Jensen closed his eyes and wished himself away. He wished that he was on an island with just him, Mittens, and his son, somewhere that was miles and miles away from the impending meltdown.
"That is, what... well, if it wasn't true, then you wouldn't feel that way, now would you?" Jared snarled.
"Jared?"
Jensen tried intervening.
No, I'll just go. Stay somewhere where my existence doesn't bother the humans," Jared said as he stormed from the room.
Jensen's mother started crying and collapsed into the nearest chair, Mittens making his escape and heading straight after Jared.
"Mom," Jensen said as he shifted Caden onto his hip.
"I try, Jensen, I do.
You know that I always knew, somewhere deep inside, that you weren't going to marry a human. You were too obsessed with the Seraph, and I'll admit that I didn't want that for you. No parent wants things to be rough for their child. Jensen nodded, because he had understood that, even before he'd come home from that medical conference, to be confronted with the fact that he was about to become a father. And even before Caden had decided to break out of his shell, Jensen had worried about him. He'd kept an eye on the incubator, and trailed around their apartment with electric blankets, cradling that too easily broken egg to his chest for warmth. But when he'd first seen his son, tiny little body and baby wings with barely a hint of wet, scraggly feathers, he'd gone from loving to unbearably protective. It hadn't been easy being glared at in stores. When it had just been him and Jared, things had been more manageable. It wasn't obvious that they were a couple unless Jared was being affectionate, and even if they were discriminated against, Jared was an adult. When it was his son, though, that hurt far more than anything that was ever said about Jensen directly. "But," Jensen's mother continued after dabbing at her tears, "that doesn't mean that I haven't done my best to love Jared. Even when he insisted that you were his mate and not his husband, or he threw that unholy fit about serving sunflower seeds at the Super Bowl party and said I was trying to serve him bird seed, I did my best to understand. I know things are difficult, and I know that he loves you, and I only ever wanted that for you, but I don't know what else to do." Jensen stayed silent and watched his mother cry. He didn't know what to do either. Jared glared at the offensive, vile creature as it slinked into the room after him. He could hear his mother-in-law talking, and Jensen being his stoic, uncommunicative self. It was always about them, always about their human ways and Jared adapting to them. So she had to adapt for once. So what? She wasn't the one who had to pretend that her child didn't come out of her body. She didn't have to sit around a dinner table and watch as other grandchildren were proudly doted upon and not molested by some feline monstrosity.
"Meow,"
Mitten said as he padded closer. "Don't come near me," Jared threatened. He'd strangle that cat for hurting his baby. He didn't care what Jensen said about it. If nobody else was going to take care of its clearly aberrant behavior, Jared would do it for them.
"Meow,"
Mittens announced as he jumped up into Jared's lap, heedless of the warning. Jared went to shove the offensive abomination off his legs, but the instant his hand connected with its fur, it started to emit a soft, rumbling purr. Jared scowled and took his hand away. If it wanted to sit there, fine. He'd show Jensen who it was that was forgiving and accepting of other species. Mittens rumbled and started to knead at Jared's leg, but he ignored it. Soon enough, little meows started to intersperse his purring, and his tiny cat nose started poking at Jared's limp hand, trying to get him to pet its nasty feline body. Jared didn't give in. Not really. It just wasn't in his nature to hold a grudge for long. He wondered if it made him a bad father that he started petting his son's attacker. It probably did. He was a horrible, horrible person, and his mother-in-law was right to be suspicious and hateful towards him.
"You are a big softy at heart, you know that?"
Jensen's voice was nearly identical to the cat's in the way that it rumbled from the doorway. Jared flushed and yanked his hand away from Mitten's fur. The cat gave a disconsolate meow and turned hateful cat eyes on the human that had interrupted its petting.
"Where is Caden?" Jared asked. "Helping his grandma make sugar cookies and tormenting Mr. Buttons," Jensen replied as he walked into the room and sat down on the bed next to Jared.
Mr. Buttons was the other cat that took up residence in the house. He was an orange tabby and certifiably insane, quite possibly because his name was Mr. Buttons.
"Great. I'll be lucky if I don't have to take him in for cosmetic surgery by the end of this trip. Those cats will probably chew his feathers right off of him, Jared sniped. Jensen sighed, and with his close proximity, Jared could not only feel the hurt and distress rolling off his mate, but the worry as well.
Jay, what's going on? He asked.
How can you even ask that? My baby got hurt by your parents' cat, and you're taking their side.
And you hate what Mittens did so much that you're secretly giving your other lover Kitty snuggles, Jensen pointed out.
I wish you wouldn't call him that.
And I wish you would quit pretending that you don't secretly bring him catnip every time we come to visit. But do you see me trying to break you up? I love you so much that I'm letting you see another man. Although, I admit, I'd feel differently if he wasn't neutered.
Jensen, Jared groaned. Mittens meowed in agreement.
Seriously, Jay, you want to tell me what's going on? Jensen said, his voice sobering from its teasing lilt.
The answer to that was no. No, Jared didn't want to tell his mate what was bothering him, because there wasn't a damn thing that Jensen could do to make it better, and bringing up the subject would be so much worse than even making Jensen's mother cry.
I can feel that, you know. Just because I don't have magical fire powers and pretty wings, that doesn't mean I can't feel you with our bond, Jensen pointed out.
You're just jealous, Jared accused, trying to deflect the conversation.
Yeah, I'm jealous. Especially of the fact that my body doesn't randomly decide to give birth to eggs, Jensen retorted with a slightly knowing tone. He was guessing, but he was guessing close.
Damn you anyway, Jared muttered as he petted Mittens, trying to distract himself and get his emotions under control.
You want another one? Jensen asked.
Jared shrugged.
I'd like the option, you know? I'd like to be able to go down there and explain that my baby's green eyes really did come from his papa.
I'd like to be able to look at my father-in-law and let him know that his first grandson was born 5 months before he thinks.
Dad already knows that, Jensen said softly.
Jared laughed humorlessly.
No, he doesn't. Your parents love him, but it isn't the same. They don't look at him and go, there's Ackle's blood in those veins.
I'm pretty sure that they don't do that with any of their grandkids. That honestly sounds a little creepy, Jay.
You know what I'm trying to say. They're human, and Caden isn't. I'm not, and I can't exactly tell them that he is because...
And you wonder why I dislike the Academy policies as much as I do, Jensen said. His tone wasn't filled with as much rancor as it normally was, but Jared knew that was only because Jensen was trying to make peace. Any other day, Jensen would be ranting and raving about the secrecy and duplicity of Jared's people, and it hurt because sometimes it was like Jensen forgot that Jared was a seraph, and the hiding was for good reason.
I don't wonder. That's the problem. I understand it just as well as I understand why your mother would rather that you just go find a nice human girl.
I just hate it is all, Jared said. Jensen sighed and reached out to ruffle his fingers through Jared's feathers, scratching in past the down to get to the skin.
You want to go home? We can pick up some of those pre-made meals and celebrate the holiday with just the three of us.
It was another peace offering, one that Jared knew Jensen didn't want to be making, and one that wasn't truly fair if Jared looked at the situation honestly. As hard of a time as Jensen's family had had accepting their son's seemingly rash life choices, Jared's own family had been unbearably reactionary about those humans and their slow reception of their son's mating. Jared didn't even want to think about the war that was their wedding. He still wasn't sure why there was a 3-day fight over the color of the flowers, let alone the great debate about why red velvet cake was not a suitable choice for a wedding cake. His psychology degree told him that the fights were really substitutions for what their families were actually feeling, but it still boggled his mind how far that projection had gone. The Ackles clan felt their son was jumping in too fast.
The Padaleckis weren't sure why there needed to be a ceremony at all when their son was already mated. As far as they were concerned, a quick trip to City Hall was all that was needed to officiate things and get the human paperwork sorted out. Jared's grandmother had suggested that they just quit trying with Jensen's family at all, that Jensen was one of them now, and he didn't need human ideas clogging up his head and messing with his mating. Jensen's father had overheard this, and before either Jared or Jensen had a chance to smooth things over, both families had been at each other's throats. It had been a disaster, and as far as Jared had been concerned, the wedding couldn't be over fast enough. Truth be told, Jared still worried that maybe Jensen's family held that against him, because he knew that there were still members of his own family that tensed up if he mentioned any of his in-laws to them. Not Jensen. He was a mate, and to attack him was unfathomable. Even Jensen's attempts at resisting their mating were ignored. It wasn't as common in modern times as it once had been, but in the old days, humans had been far more resistant. Jared figured that had a lot to do with the old method of mating involving actual abduction, but his mother swore it was because of the excellent screening policies of the academies. And, oh yeah, that would be why Jensen didn't talk to Jared's mother so much. She still sent in her quarterly support checks to the local academy offices.
"If we go home, you're not going to want to spend Christmas at my folks' house," Jared mumbled. "We can still go if you..."
"Jensen, please, don't humor me.
I wasn't making a bartering offer. I just want to make things better. It isn't like you to pick a fight with my mom. It isn't like you to pick a fight, period, and I'm worried."
"I didn't pick a fight," Jared protested. "Mittens grabbed hold of Caden's perfect fluffy little baby wings, and he just
tried to do to him what you trained him to do to your wings?
He's a cat, Jared. Despite what some people might tell you, his mental capacity doesn't really cover fiendish plots. Mittens isn't tying the mice he catches to toy train tracks and twisting his whiskers while he cackles."
"Your mom will hate me if we leave," Jared said.
"My mom thinks you hate her right now. And before you ask, no, I'm not suggesting we go because she's upset. In fact, a little birdie told me that Dad has been plotting out how to best film his two grandsons' first wishbone break for weeks now, so he's going to be heartbroken if Caden isn't here to do that."
"Really?" Jared asked meekly. "I told you that they love him. Plus, he's got 5 months on George. He's totally going to win that wishbone, and he could use a little good luck, what with his preoccupation with cats and all."
"Cats have an obsession with him," Jared corrected.
"And I have a fixation with you. I have since before I even met you and your pretty, pretty wings."
"Good thing, too, because you were barely awake when you met me. I wouldn't have stood a chance."
"Liar. I always come around for good coffee. What you're lucky about is that some sexy barista didn't steal my heart away first," Jensen teased.
Jared chuckled, but the banter didn't lift his spirits. He could hear his son down in the kitchen making a racket as he helped his grandmother mix the cookie dough together. She was telling him some preposterous story about angels and freckles that Jared was sure she wouldn't be telling him if she knew that her son-in-law could overhear her. She walked on eggshells around him, and it irritated Jared that she felt she had to monitor her behavior like that. He felt like they would never get past that uncomfortable stage of interaction, and it was as much his fault as anybody's.
"Do you want to tell them?" Jensen asked after a few minutes.
"Tell them what?"
"About Caden. That he didn't really come from some teenaged seraph that your cousin knew, who got knocked up before she mated, and gave the baby up for adoption. That we lucked out on the genetics lottery instead of the once-in-a-lifetime chance at adopting a cherub," Jensen clarified.
It was tempting to do that. Jared was tired of lying. He was tired of pretending not to notice how much their son favored his papa's looks. He wanted to be able to tell Jensen to leave the condom off so that they could have a chance at bringing more babies into the world,
and not have to lie to those closest to them about it. But Jared couldn't do that. They had enough problems interacting with each other now. He couldn't imagine how his in-laws would look at him if they knew that his body just arbitrarily decided to spawn eggs that his mate could fertilize, and he wouldn't be able to bear it if they started treating Caden like some freak because he was birthed in an egg and then hatched.
"I don't think that's a good idea," Jared mumbled.
"But you want to do it anyway,"
Jensen added, not really questioning. "I want to do a lot of things that I shouldn't. I'm a very impulsive kind of guy."
But yet Mitten still lives, so I rest assured of your impulse control. He's okay for a cat, even if he did bite my kid," Jared tacked on.
Jensen reached over and scratched Mitten's behind the ears.
"You realize that there's a good chance he wanted Caden's feathers because he smells like you, right? He and Mr. Buttons are the only two Ackles besides me that know our son is biologically ours. Cats have excellent sensory perception."
"Mr. Buttons is crazy. He probably thinks Caden is related to the can of Spam that your mom has in the cupboard," Jared said, even as he gave Mittens extra pets for just the thought that he maybe knew the truth, and in his own cat way supported it.
"Yeah, but everybody has to have somebody in the family that's a little crazy. Perfect families would be boring," Jensen agreed.
"Was that you trying to be deep?" Jared asked, glancing out the corner of his eyes at his mate.
"Depends. Did it work?"
"I'm going to ask your mom if she coached you," Jared told him. Jensen looked affronted.
"Dude, you would have overheard if she had."
"Maybe I just want an excuse to not go apologize," Jared admitted. Jensen leaned over and pressed a kiss against Jared's temple.
"Just think of it as setting an example for your son."
"I thought that you were supposed to eat turkey on Thanksgiving, not crow," Jared mock complained as he leaned back against his mate, sighing as Jensen's arm automatically slid up to cradle him close.
Jensen pressed another kiss onto the crown of Jared's head and said,
"Trust the man that had to give up on his own pride. Sometimes crow can end up tasting pretty sweet."
Baby Angels, written by Morzilla and read by Eos Rose. In retrospect, Jensen figures that he and Jared are gigantic idiots. He's always known that they have communication issues, but he never has gone so far as to label himself a moron before. But he really should have gotten a clue. They both should have looked back at the Thanksgiving incident and realized that something was up with that. Jared's sensitive, sure, but he isn't normally so Jared-y like that. He's a grown man, not some simpering teenage girl who cries when her boyfriend buys her the wrong shade of pink nail polish for their 3-week anniversary. Not that Jensen blames Jared for getting upset on occasion. He understands that he and his husband come from different worlds, and even with Jensen's obsession with the Seraph, he still has some issues with accepting all of Jared's viewpoints on the world. He doesn't think that it's wrong to feel that way. The Seraphs aren't completely correct in their assumptions any more than the humans are. They have an excuse for Caden. They really, really do. Jared controls heat, fire, flames, whatever. The point is that there was no logical basis for thinking that Jensen as a man couldn't bone his equally male mate without protection when neither of them had any sexually transmitted diseases and they were monogamous to one another. So, yeah, oops number one, totally not their fault. Oops number two, on the other hand, well, the signs were there, right? Jared was a little hormonal around Thanksgiving, and Jensen had certainly taken enough biology classes to know that there was a chance that Jared's abnormal reproductive ability had cycles like any other carrier would have if there wasn't a fertilization and carrying period. Their only defense is that there was a lot going on at the time. They'd originally planned to spend the week of Christmas with Jared's parents like always. With the holiday and their remaining vacation time, they'd managed to take a few days off before the holiday week as well, and Jensen had cajoled Jared into spending some time at his parents' place first. Jared agreed rather quickly for somebody who hadn't had such a great experience the last time that he was there. Jensen privately thought it was because Jared was in cat withdrawal, but as he wanted to continue actually having sex with his husband, he had refrained from mentioning his theory to Jared. It had been both nice and stressful, which he supposes most people's holidays are, but after the fight at Thanksgiving, it had been nice to see that Jared could be around Jensen's parents without having a meltdown. Then they got the news that Jared's parents ended up with one case of bronchitis and one case of the flu, and going to visit them went right out the window. Maybe if it was just the two of them, they'd have risked it anyway, to go stay and take care of things so that Jared's parents could rest up. But with Caden along for the ride, they weren't going to risk their little cherub's health. Plus, he was a handful. Jared's parents didn't need to be putting up with a hyperactive toddler. Jensen's parents were beyond thrilled when he asked if they could maybe stay through Christmas. Somehow they determined that the gifts that they had already purchased for their winged grandchild weren't enough, and went on a shopping spree to make certain that their little guest was properly spoiled. And yeah, Jensen is ashamed to admit that he took advantage of their grandparent glee. When he and Jared first got together, after the whole breakup with spontaneous molting part, they spent a lot of time cuddling together when they were at home. Jared liked to wrap his wings around Jensen's body, and Jensen liked to bury his fingers in Jared's feathers, and they'd kiss and nuzzle and do all manner of disgustingly sweet things, like whispering endearments in each other's ears. Caden sort of put a damper on that, because in his mind, cuddles were made for cherubs to collect, and while Jensen certainly didn't mind cuddling his son, it wasn't the kind of cuddling that he wanted to do with his mate. So while Caden's grandfather was watching claymation reindeer pick on poor Rudolph, complete with Caden's commentary of how he couldn't fly yet either, but Rudolph would grow into it just like Daddy promised he would, Jensen took his husband's hand and led him up to the guest room. He was willing to swear that all he had intended was a little reconnecting time with his mate. Jensen is not the kind of boy that gets his groove on in his parents' house. Not even as a teenager did he so much as make out at home. The car was a different story, but Jensen was in dire straits with his self-imposed not-at-home rule. If he'd been less horny, he would have sworn off the car as well. He knows it. Unfortunately, Jared can be a very bad influence on Jensen. They started off with gentle kisses and hugs, Jensen's hand sliding up Jared's naked back to rub at the patch of skin between the places where Jared's wings joined to the rest of his body. There wasn't anything that was truly wrong with what they were doing. It maybe wasn't something that he wanted their son to see, but it was gentle and slow, and it eased some of the tension out of Jared's frame, even if it didn't ease out all of his disappointment at not being able to go home for Christmas. Jensen had been pleasantly buzzed on kisses and cuddles when Jared decided that he needed to shove his hand down Jensen's pants. Jensen had protested, but Jared had shushed him, saying that Jensen's dad had decided that Caden should also experience the story of people from Whoville and their misguided green villain as well. It was against Jensen's rule of no more than one movie for the night, but Jared had made a very convincing argument with his left hand and, well, Jensen's mom was out Christmas shopping, and his dad was busy, and they probably wouldn't have another opportunity for sex until they went home. Not having been very fond of the idea of not having sex for almost 2 weeks to begin with, Jensen's libido had overridden his brain. They'd gotten naked. Then they'd gotten reckless. They hadn't planned on having sex, so Jensen hadn't packed his condoms because he'd been terrified of them falling out of his luggage at an inopportune time. Worse, he had a toddler who had inherited his feathery father's penchant for snooping. Jensen could just imagine his little one bursting into his grandmother's kitchen with a bottle of lube in one hand and a handful of condoms in the other. But with his dick doing his thinking for him,
Jensen hadn't exactly had a problem with letting his husband ride him in his parents' guest bed, using the ocean-scented hand lotion his mother had in the room as lube, pulling out his husband's feathers as he'd come in an effort to keep silent. It was after he'd come down from his coital high that Jensen had been ashamed of himself. Jared, of course, had been no help at all, rolling over for his usual afterglow snuggle, muttering something about roast beast. But Jensen had managed to get the both of them cleaned up, and the window cracked to air the room out from the scent of sex, and he'd figured that he'd dodged a very embarrassing bullet. 4 days later, Jared's face had suddenly gotten pinched in the middle of dinner, and he'd bolted up the stairs into the guest bathroom. Jensen had gone to check on him, and had gotten worried when there was no answer to his calls through the door. He'd been about to break into the room when Jared sent him a text message from not 5 feet and a door away, telling him not to let anybody else in the room. Which, really, nobody else wanted to see Jared heaving his guts out. Jensen's father had immediately volunteered to be on grandson duty, and Jensen's mother had gotten up to fix tea and find crackers. Hair-holding was a spouse duty, and both of their gazes had said as much. So when Jared unlocked the door to the bathroom, Jensen wasn't expecting his husband to not have his pants on. Normally the sight would be exciting to him, but the whole pained look in Jared's eyes and the sweat beading on his forehead just killed the romance of bathroom nakedness.
"Jared?"
"Shut the door," Jared had ordered as he'd dropped his bare ass onto the bathroom tile. The fuzzy rugs that Jensen's mother kept in the room were piled in the small shower stall.
"What's going on?"
Jensen had asked as he turned around and did as Jared requested.
"Don't freak out,"
Jared had more pleaded than ordered. It hadn't been reassuring.
"Jared?"
"So, you know how I was complaining about holiday weight gain this morning? Not so much too many cookies,"
Jared had gasped.
"What are you talk? What the hell is that?"
Jensen knew his husband's body very thoroughly. He knew every quill and scar and tickly groin feather. The distended bump that was forming right behind Jared's balls was not in any way normal.
"So they say that second children tend to come faster than the first,"
Jared had offered with a smile.
"What?" "You promised not to freak out."
"I did not. There was no agreement," Jensen had hissed back.
"Can we talk about this later? There wasn't much blood last time, but the new hole appearing thing really hurt. Not looking forward to that again."
"What? No! We need to get you an ambulance!"
"Are you out of your mind? You're going to call the medics for your seraph husband who is birthing your egg?"
Jared had asked.
"You're in pain!"
"And your parents are downstairs, so keep your voice down," Jared had snarled as he reached up and yanked Jensen down beside him. Logically, Jensen had known that Caden's egg had been birthed. Jared had told him the details, but their reality had never truly sunk in beyond the fact that something bodily happened, and they had a little cherub as a result. Jensen doesn't think that Caden's birth happened quite as quickly as baby number 2's birth did, but he doesn't know for sure. Jared tells him that the pain makes it feel like forever, and Jensen is willing to just believe that.
"How's he look?" Jared had asked as he finished pushing the new egg from his body.
Jensen hadn't been sure what he was supposed to say. It was an egg. It was vaguely egg-shaped, and the mottled pink shell was a little soft to the touch. There was a nasty, ugly-looking hole on his husband's body, and there were clear bodily fluids on his mother's dark blue ceramic tiles. It was possibly one of the most horrifying things he'd ever witnessed.
"Pink," Jensen had answered finally.
"Pink," Jared had groaned as he twisted and thrashed, trying to convince his sore abdominal muscles to let him sit up.
"Yeah,"
Jensen had hefted the frighteningly large egg up for Jared to see.
"Well, that's pink,"
Jared had mumbled.
With little brown spots.
Jensen had added.
Yeah, fuck. You need to tell your mom I've got the flu really bad and insist on cleaning up the bathroom before she sees this on her morning towel run.
Jared had ordered, even as he made grabbing hand motions for his precious bundle of shell.
What? Jared, we can't just hide this, Jensen had protested.
Why not? Teenage girls hide births all the time. You going to try to tell me that you're not smarter than a teenage girl?
No, but I might call you one,
Jensen had hissed as he'd snatched one of his mother's aforementioned towels and wrapped their new egg in it before handing it over to his mate.
He's lighter than Caden was, Jared had fretted. Do you think that he's okay?
I don't know, Jay. I'm not an ornithologist, Jensen had muttered as he'd started mopping up at the whatever it was that had come out of Jared's body with the egg.
If I wasn't cradling our baby, I'd hit you for that, Jared had growled.
Yeah, so instead of fighting, we should maybe discuss the fact that we're going to need to talk to my parents, Jensen had said.
We are going to tell your parents nothing. You are going to go down there and tell them that I've got a very bad stomach bug. I am going to play incubator to the little one until we can smuggle him out with us on our way home. Given how your mother is, I'm betting that she'll insist on taking care of us through Christmas so that you don't have to worry, so you'd better brush up on your acting skills, Ackles.
Jensen recalls opening his mouth to argue, but Jared had cut him off with the words, "Don't argue with me right now. I just pushed your goddamned egg out of me." And so Jensen was a good husband and did as he was told. His mother made soups and broths, and Jared lazed around in the guest bedroom, faking illness and snuggling the new egg, making a little cocoon of towels and blankets and Jensen's favorite sweaters. Oh, and Mittens, the evil cat, was somehow welcome to curl up next to their new egg and provide it with his furry kitty warmth. Jared claimed that he was giving Mittens a second chance because of the holiday season. And Jensen? Jensen has been lying his ass off for days. He's very certain that this is not what the spirit of Christmas is about. It only gets worse whenever Caden wants to go see his daddy, and Jensen has to hold back what seems like 15 elephants worth of cherub so that he doesn't accidentally crush his little sibling that is nested under the thick comforter. For his part, Jared's been in a fairly good mood, but he's used to being active and moving around. Jensen can remember when Caden was still an egg. Jared would carry him everywhere in their apartment, and Jensen had more than once snatched that delicate green egg out of Jared's hands, terrified that his mate was going to come down with a fit of clumsiness and drop their child. But for all that Caden pouts about not having quality daddy time, his not-so-innocent suggestion that opening a present early will make Daddy feel better allows Jensen to convince his mother to give Jared the electric blanket she bought for the both of them. That it is completely unnecessary when his husband comes equipped with his own down blanket is something that Jensen is very glad he didn't point out earlier. His mother might have returned it, and then they'd have to make certain that one of them was supplying body heat to the egg almost constantly. On Christmas Eve, Jensen is feeling pretty good about their plan. They'll have to explain things to Caden when they get back home, but even if he doesn't take the news about becoming a big brother well, nobody is going to listen to a toddler who claims that his sibling came out of an egg. They'll have time to get some new adoption papers faked, and it'll be smooth sailing. Jensen is certain of it. But it's Christmas Eve, and Jensen's mother is worried about Jared's comfort. So while Jensen is helping Caden stuff, super secret, Papa, presents in his grandma's stocking, said grandma goes up to the guest bedroom to check on Jared. Only Jared is taking a shower, so he isn't there. And Jensen's mother has always believed in having clean sheets, especially when somebody is sick. Jensen almost has a heart attack when his mother comes down the stairs with his youngest cradled in her arms. Jensen's father, on the other hand, almost has a heart attack when his son-in-law comes barreling down the stairs, naked and wet.
Mittens just doesn't understand why his human slaves won't let him curl up on the pretty egg like his winged angel does, but Jensen figures that he's a cat, so the shock of the situation is sort of lost on him.
"Daddy, claws!"
Caden reprimands in his best Jensen voice. He went through an entire phase of life where he was perfectly content to run around with nothing but his baby down feathers for covering, and Jensen swears that he grew his first gray hair because of it.
"Papa, Daddy has no claws,"
Caden says with an impatient tug on Jensen's pant leg.
"I know, kiddo,"
Jensen answers as he grabs a throw off the couch to wrap around Jared's waist. He has no idea where Jared's towel went, but he knows better than to ask. Jared, meanwhile, has reclaimed their egg from Jensen's mother and is cradling it to his chest. He is frantically soothing his large hands over its curves. Jensen knows that he is checking for cracks and making sure that it is still evenly heated, but it looks for all the world like he's a naked man petting an egg. Jensen is fairly certain that his father is now officially scarred for life.
"What is that?"
Jensen's mother finally asks.
Avoiding that question sounds like a great idea.
So Jensen takes more time than is strictly necessary, wrapping the throw around his husband's hips to hide his manhood and pubic feathers from view. Unfortunately, Caden decides to answer for him with,
"Is my Christmas present, Grandma? I asked Santa for a baby brother, and he come early."
"Oh, honey, babies don't come in..."
Jensen's mother trails off at Jensen's loud throat clearing.
"Jensen?" she asks.
"About that."
Jensen pauses and looks at Jared, who refuses to make eye contact under the pretext of looking very closely at their youngest shell. He's not sure how exactly to tell his parents that he's knocked up his interspecies husband with magical gay eggs twice. So he turns to his son and tells him,
"Merry Christmas, buddy!"
Cherub's Bow, written by Morzilla and read by Eos Rose. There was something especially infuriating about having your young son flit around with a very personal and intimate possession of yours, while your husband laughed his ass off over in the corner of the room, doing absolutely nothing to come to your rescue. If Jared wasn't absolutely certain that Jensen was his perfect mate, he'd be tempted to do something horrible to him.
"Caden," Jared hissed, "what are you doing?"
His voice strained with the harshness of the whisper that he was using, hoping that neither of Jensen's parents would hear and come running to see what the commotion was about.
"Is Cupid,"
Caden announced very, very loudly while he shot his papa with a tiny heart-shaped suction cup dart. Jensen started laughing even harder, and Jared felt his face flush as both of his in-laws came into the room to see the spectacle. His mother-in-law made an excited noise and ran out of the room almost immediately. Jared knew from the tone that she was going to get her camera, and he wondered if it was too late in his life to just go build a giant nest somewhere and drag Jensen off to it caveman style, so that they wouldn't have to deal with relatives.
"Caden, sweetheart," Jared said as he stepped forward, trying to get close enough to his rambunctious toddler to take the bow and quiver away.
He was shot with an arrow for his efforts.
"Now you love Papa forever,"
Caden announced gleefully. Jared was going to have to make inquiries to Jensen about how his little son had learned to shoot anything so well, but there was the matter of getting his, well, role-playing prop away from his son first.
"Honey, give Daddy the bow," Jared said softly.
"No, it's Cupid,"
Caden said as he stomped his little sandal-clad foot on the living room carpet. His head of golden curls was messy as always, and he'd fashioned an interesting-looking toga with the aid of his underwear and a kitchen towel. His tiny wings were all fluffed out, their downy softness barely filling in with actual feathers, which was the only thing that Jared was grateful for. He didn't know what he would do if his son actually had enough flight feathers to gain loft and dart around the ceiling fixtures while pelting them with arrows from above. "You're not Cupid, Caden," Jared told him as he crept closer. "You're a cherub." Caden's green eyes looked at him skeptically, and he pouted. Jensen, the bastard that was so never getting laid again, awed over by Jared's potted palm tree. "Give Daddy the bow and arrows," Jared ordered again as he extended his hand. Caden slowly handed over the bow and cheap plastic quiver to his father, but the expression on his face said that he wasn't happy and was about to prove it. Knowing full well that he had an audience, Caden's baby lips started jutting out and his pretty green eyes filled with tears. Jared almost sighed in exasperation when Jensen had their son scooped up in his arms within seconds, shooting Jared a dirty look for making his baby cry. That was when Jared's in-laws started covering their laughter with fake-sounding coughs. Jared scowled back at his husband, hoping that the look fully imparted his question as to how Caden happened to come across the tale of Eros, why he'd been able to get into their bedroom to find the bow's hiding place, and also that Jensen was going to be sleeping without the cozy warmth of his living-down comforter for the next couple of nights. "You're going to be the one to have the talk with him about shooting people," Jared told his husband with his stern parenting voice. Jensen didn't roll his eyes at him, but Jared knew that was only because Jensen didn't want to end up sleeping on the couch instead of just the edge of the bed. Jared didn't return the favor. He rolled his eyes at Jensen's coddling and stomped out of the room to go find a better hiding place for his personal toys. As he passed by the nursery, he stopped in to visit the pink egg sitting in its toasty incubator. Smiling fondly at his well-behaved and yet-to-be-spoiled child, Jared hoped that his second son would choose to be a ninja, like every other little boy in the world, instead of Eros. Throwing stars and nunchucks he could handle. Love arrows, we're going to take some getting used to.
Wave Hello, written by Morzilla and read by Eos Rose. Seraphs don't normally hatch. They have long, live births just like humans do. Most seraphs wouldn't learn that their second child is coming into the world because they get a phone call from their in-laws saying that the egg is rocking in the incubator and they think they see a hairline crack forming. Most seraphs aren't getting their chests waxed either, but Jared doesn't think that is as significant of a detail. Most men don't get their chests waxed. But Jensen has a thing for the whole smooth skin look, and Jared is a dutiful mate. Plus, it makes his chest really sensitive, and it totally pays off when Jensen rubs his stubbled jaw over his pecs and... Okay, so Jared probably shouldn't be thinking about Jensen's face as he flies home to greet his new son. It could give him an inappropriate erection, and that would just be awkward. More awkward than the way his shirt is sticking to the chest wax that he didn't give his beautician the time to remove before he was almost literally flying out the door, dollar bills fluttering behind him as he threw the contents of his wallet at her. If he misses the birth of his son, Jared is going to forever kick himself for doing a little manscaping on his lunch break instead of going home. Earlier in the day, it had seemed like a good idea. His in-laws were good people, but Jared didn't have the easiest of relationships with them. Small dosages were a good prescription for all involved. Caden had waited a week and 5 days longer to hatch than his sibling, so Jared hadn't been too concerned that today would be the day. By the time that he lands at their front door, Jensen's car is already haphazardly parked on the curb. The engine is still running, and the driver's side door is open. It practically screams, "Steal me!" But Jared doesn't take the time to fix it. He does, however, make a mental note of it, so he can send at least one of his in-laws out of the house when they decide that they have the right to crowd in on him, his mate, and their new bundle of joy.
"Where were you?"
Jensen's stressed-out voice assails him as soon as Jared makes it inside the door. He isn't smiling and looking dopey, so Jared's reasonably sure that their little cherub hasn't waved hello yet.
At lunch, Jared tells him, that sounds a lot better than getting waxed because you have a fetish. He doesn't need Caden hearing that and pestering them about what a fetish is. For the record, if Caden ever does ask, Jared is going to tell him that it is something that Zunis carve for ceremonial purposes. He doesn't care what Jensen says about it. Mom took Caden to the park, Jensen says as he moves back to their room. He had been insistent on keeping the incubator in their bedroom like they had when they'd had Caden, even though they own a house now and have all manner of baby monitors from when Caden was a cherub. Jensen had been nostalgic about wanting the new baby with them in their room at night. He promised Jared that the baby would be moved to the nursery as soon as he hatched, though, so Jared let him have his way. It had nothing to do with Jared's own nostalgia and wanting to be near his egg. Nothing at all. Your mother voluntarily left? Jared asks as he follows his mate through the house. Caden was starting to ask where the stork got the egg from and if he was going to get a birdie instead of a baby brother. Jensen explains. Mom wanted to head that conversation off. Besides, she'll smother the little tyke later, Jensen's father chimes in, then makes a face. Not literally, of course. Jared ignores him. The tiny, slightly misshapen egg has a big crack in it now. It is rocking back and forth quite animatedly as their new addition tries to make his way into the world. I'll just leave you two be, Jared's father-in-law whispers as he leaves the room. Call if you need help. Jensen nods at his father, but his hand laces with Jared's. His other hand is adjusting the zoom on his new camera that he mounted to view the incubator. If Jared was a girl, he wouldn't be letting Jensen film anything about the birth of their child. But Jared isn't a girl, and Jensen hadn't even thought about taping him pushing the egg out of his body, so he can appreciate the whole documentation of the wonders of childbirth, hatching, whatever they're calling it.
Finally, the egg cracks just enough for an appendage to stick through, and a tiny amniotic fluid-covered wing pops out, flopping at them like their new cherub is waving hello.
Ah, Jensen coos. Jared would mock him, but he feels exactly the same way. Think we should help? Jared asks when the egg starts rocking again. Seems to be doing okay, Jensen whispers back. Don't want to mess nature up or anything. At least not any more than it's fucked itself up already, Jared asks. Jared, Jensen scolds. I'm recording this. You shouldn't be swearing. Jared wants to tease his husband about that, but he holds his tongue. The joyous sound of bickering isn't the first noise he wants his baby to hear when he makes it out of his adorable freckled shell. Soon enough, a tiny, chubby baby fist breaks through the shell, emerging alongside the wing. It grasps at air for a second before it pops back inside the shell. Then the shell tips forward, rolling so that the top is now pointed at Jared. He reaches out, but it rocks backwards and uprights itself again. Like a weeble, Jensen whispers. Jared shouldn't, but he does laugh. He doesn't care that it is maybe inappropriate, but Jensen is right. His chuckling gets caught in his throat, though, as the shell suddenly splits neatly down the middle, one pink half falling to the side while the other remains upright, partially shielding and cradling their giggling cherub. Our son is a genius, Jared says. He's going to be an architect with skills like that. Jared? Jensen's voice is hesitant as he scoops their newborn into his hands. They agreed that Jensen would get to be the first to hold their second child, seeing as how Jared was the first to hold Caden. What's wrong? Jared demands, worry flooding his heart. Nothing, just... Jensen turns around, tiny, perfect baby on display. She isn't a boy.
Mother's Day, written by Morzilla and read by Eos Rose. Jared awoke to the feeling of weight settling on his lap. Daddy! Caden cheered in that loud way that only toddlers can. Wake up! Once he shook the sleep from his eyes and got a cup of coffee in him, Jared was going to kill Jensen for allowing their son to jump on their bed. The bedroom door was suspiciously wide open, and Jared just knew that his mate had given their son sugar.
Daddy!
Caden hissed again when Jared didn't verbally respond.
What's going on, buddy? Jared managed to croak out of his lips. Where's your papa?
Caden grinned at him and then wrinkled his nose in disgust.
Papa's getting the baby. She's stinky.
Jared could just imagine. Maybe he wouldn't kill Jensen, just hurt him a lot. Baby diapers were explosive sometimes.
We got a surprise for you,
Caden enthused, bouncing up and down, jostling Jared into further wakefulness.
Surprises aren't normally announced, buddy, Jensen said as he walked into the room with their newest addition tucked in his arms.
Wrapped up in a pink blanket, she looked like any stereotypical baby girl, only Jared had bought the blanket because it was fluffy and he loved pink. Jensen had teased him about it for ages, but Jared didn't care. Jensen had bland tastes. He'd live in neutral colors if Jared let him.
But, Papa, breakfast!
Caden disagreed loudly. Breakfast? Jared echoed his son. His rumbling stomach could get behind that.
In bed, Jensen confirmed.
But you's gots to hold Kayla,
Caden butted in. "'Cause it is Mommy Day, and she needs to be here for it to count.'
"'Mother's Day?' Jared said flatly, glaring in his husband's direction. Oh, the execution of Jensen Ackles was back on. He was going to strangle him. Twice.
"'He wanted to do it on Easter on account of the eggs?' Jensen explained with a little smile that told Jared that he should be grateful. Jared didn't buy it. Jensen was an adult capable of telling their son no.
I hatched,
Caden whispered like it was the coolest thing ever. Jared could foresee a future of teacher's notes, mentioning Caden's active imagination, until their son finally realized that none of his seraph or human classmates had hatched from an egg. But Caden knew exactly where his little sister had come from, so hiding the truth from him had been impossible.
He wanted to know if you were his mommy hen,
Jensen provided, with glee. Jared scowled and held out his hands for his daughter. Give her to me and go get my food. Jensen grinned and leaned over the bed to hand over their daughter. Jared took the opportunity to grab Jensen's collar and hold him fast.
You owe me,
he whispered threateningly before letting go. Jensen retaliated with a quick kiss as he placed Kayla in Jared's arms.
Can't help it that I'm easily wrapped around Seraph Pinky Fingers.
Oh, you so can, Jared hissed. But Jensen ignored him as he strutted away. Jared was going to make him pay. He was going to eat breakfast first, though.